Bloomberg Audio Studios. Podcasts, radio, news.
This is your weekly Washington Policy Pulse on the Balance of Power podcast. I'm Joe Matthew. Every Monday, Bloomberg Intelligence senior policy analyst and friend of the show, Nathan Dean, shares his weekly call on upcoming catalysts in the nation's capital. Listen for the most recent and relevant policy research from our team at Bloomberg Intelligence. Now with today's installment, here's Nathan Dean.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Nathan Dean. Welcome to the Washington Policy Pulse. We are very excited to have you on this June 22nd at 10 a.m. on the dot. We always timestamp these things because they move fairly quickly, or at least things move fairly quickly here in Washington. I want to say thank you for those of you who are joining us via the Balance of Power podcast. We always appreciate listening. One quick fun fact that I just learned that actually really made me interested is that obviously we saw the Prime Minister in the UK, Keir Starmer, announce his resignation this morning. This is actually the third time that the United Kingdom has had a prime minister change during a major soccer tournament. I won't say football just because the United States has won two of its games so far, but a major soccer tournament since Euro 2016. So David Cameron to Theresa May in 2016, Rishi Sunak to Keir Starmer in 2024, and Keir Starmer and to whoever, somebody else, if the transition is completed before the end of the tournament, certainly an interesting thing. But here in Washington, things are actually quieting down for the summer. I mean, obviously, if you're in Washington, you know the commute today was fairly easy. But let's go ahead and talk a little bit about what's going on over at the Senate and the House. And let's start with what's happening with Bill Pulte as the Acting Director of National Intelligence. Now, last week, we talked about how the Senate was really trying to race and replace him with Jay Clayton, the former SEC chairman, the prosecutor at the Southern District of New York. Now, what happened was is that President Trump decided at the last minute to cancel the hearing, the confirmation hearing that was scheduled for last Wednesday. Now, President Trump doesn't have the authority to cancel it, but he does have the authority to tell Jay Clayton not to show up. So even though we saw Tom Cotton, the senator from Arkansas, saying, look, we're going to go forward with this hearing. Jay Clayton actually informed the hearing that he wasn't going to be informed the committee he wasn't going to show up. And as a result, Jay Clayton is not going to be confirmed as the director of national intelligence this week. So Bill Pulte is taking over at DNI. He's the acting director there. He's still the director of the FHFA. He's going to do both jobs at once. There has been some Fannie Freddie movement based off of this. I'm not really going to get into it, but if you are a Fannie and Freddie investor and you want to talk about it, please send me an IB and I'll put you in touch with some of my colleagues who handle this. But right now, it doesn't seem like much is going on in terms of the way of the Senate being able to get Jay Clayton into office. It sounds that President Trump wants to have Bill Pulte to have some time over at DNI. And as a result, it's really holding up a bunch of other things. Now, it's primarily holding up FISA. This is Section 702 of FISA. This is the warrantless surveillance program. This actually could be extended into July. So when there's discussions about whether or not FISA is going to get implemented here, just remember, the Democrats are saying no to FISA because of Bill Pulte's position, and the Republicans don't have the votes to get it across the board. So as a result, it's really just this status quo that FISA has not been extended, and we are currently acting without the program. There's also another wrinkle here, is that President Trump is really pushing on the Majority Leader, Senate Majority Leader John Thune, to implement the Save America Act. So this is the bill. This is the voter ID bill. This is, you know, restrictions on mail-in voting ballots, et cetera. There is going to be a meeting on Wednesday, so expect a little bit of hiccups, maybe some pressure placed on the Senate from the White House. President Trump is going to meet with the Senate leadership over at on Capitol Hill on Wednesday, and they're really going to be pushing Senator Thune to implement the Save America Act by either trying to get rid of the filibuster or implement what is known as a talking filibuster. Neither of those options are going to happen. Senator Thune has said, look, I don't have the votes. I can't do this. There was actually a fight last week, and I say fight very loosely. There was a very heated discussion among certain senators last week in the GOP conference over this, essentially saying, why are we continuing to push this when we don't have the votes? But again, expect some of those political fireworks to take place on Wednesday. But again, I just don't see how this bill is going to ever go and get the light of day. A couple of things that we're reviewing out of Switzerland. I'm going to leave the geopolitical stuff for my friends over at Bloomberg Economics in terms of whether or not the 60-day threshold, the memorandum understanding will continue. But we are interested is that, you know, the U.S., and this is primarily OFAC over at Treasury, just released a few minutes ago a waiver offering the first sanctions relief. And there's been a discussion that Iran is going to use that sanctions relief to purchase United States agricultural commodities. I have not seen any specifics on what that is, nor have I seen any confirmation that that's coming. But if you are in the ag space, just something to keep in mind is that there is some discussion here about whether or not the Iran's going to go purchase agricultural commodities. That's something that we here in Washington are trying to get a little bit more information on. Couple other things that are going on. Two hearings this week in the crypto space are somewhat interesting, and I'm not going to talk about Clarity. I'm still at 70% chance of Clarity. I think we're going to get a much bigger update on Clarity next week. I don't think Clarity moves before the 4th of July, but again, I think after this week, we should get a better clear of what the senators are thinking in terms of Clarity. But over on the House side, and this is the Financial Services Committee and the Oversight Committee, there's going to be a hearing on fintech and digital coins. So neither of these hearings are really going to be interesting in terms of like new legislation, but these are hearings that are building the framework or building the foundation for congressional 2027 debate. So I'll watch both of those, and then we'll see what happens. Just real quickly, it's going to be a short call this week, but two other things to keep in mind. We have a housing bill vote today in the Senate. It's probably going to be around 5:30 Eastern. This is the bill. So just going back, and I know we've talked about this on this call before, President Trump back in the day said, look, I want to have no corporate entities being able to buy single family homes, no institutional investors on single family homes. That was translated into language. It was put into a bill, and now institutional investors wouldn't be able to purchase more than 350 single family homes. Blackstone took a hit when this announcement came out. Then Blackstone came back and our analysis said, look, it's only 0.04% of their assets under management. So it's more headline risk. And then we looked at single family REITs like Invitation Homes and AMH. And then we compared it to the bill and we actually said, OK, if the language prevents you from having 350 homes, but there are a lot of exemptions in here that ultimately will keep Invitation Homes and AMH less exposed to this than else. So where we're going with this is that the housing bill will most likely pass the Senate today. It'll most likely pass the House tomorrow if they want to go on this. And this bill really isn't going to have much of an impact on those single family REITs. You could see some headline risk just from bad headlines. You could also see some risk because the original bill included this language that would require any type of build to rent community to divest or dispose of their assets after 7 years. That's been wiped clean. That's not in there. So again, this looks to be somewhat of a wash, if you will, in terms of the impact on the industry. Will it lead to additional home builders or home growth? It depends who you ask, but a lot of it is cutting regulatory red tape. So we'll see. Other interesting thing, though, is that this bill does include a ban of the Federal Reserve implementing a central bank digital currency until 2030. 5 years. So 2031. So again, if you're in the central bank digital currency debate, Federal Reserve's out of the game for the next 5 years. Then finally, last week was the comment deadline for the Basel III endgame and the G-SIB surcharge proposals. These are the proposals that ultimately will decrease capital requirements for the banks to the tune of around $18 billion for those 8 G-SIBs. So think of the JP Morgans, the Bank of Americas, et cetera. I'm going to have my much more in-depth analysis out later this week. But just to give you a taste, most of these comment letters came in from the bank trade associations were actually like, look, we appreciate what the Fed is doing, but we need you to go more beyond $18 billion. And a lot of it was hammered on the G-SIB surcharge portion of it as opposed to the Basel III endgame. Namely, here is the G-SIB surcharge is individual by bank. So the impact on Bank of America is different than the impact on JP Morgan, et cetera. So you're getting essentially a mixed reaction from the banking sector. Now, will this change what the Federal Reserve is doing? I don't think so. I think it's changed things a little bit on the smaller side. But Governor Michelle Bowman, the vice chairwoman for supervision over at the Fed, she seemed pretty adamant that this was the proposal that they were going to stick with. And as a reminder, she's got to get this proposal by the other members of the Federal Reserve Board, including four of them, and I'm including Jerome Powell on this, four of them, that aren't in line with the president on other matters. So I would just say is in order to get consensus here, and I don't think you'd ever get Michael Barr's consensus on this, but to get Lisa Cook's or Philip Jefferson's consensus on this, she's probably not going to be able to go as far as the banking industry wants here in order to get it past the Fed. Because even though Kevin Warsh is the chairman, and Kevin Warsh is the one that decides what they're going to vote on. So if he doesn't like the proposal here and says, look, I want to give the banks more relief, and this is just a hypothetical, I'm making this up here. But if Chairman Warsh says, look, I want to give the banks more relief here, he can bring it to a vote. But if he doesn't have the votes, he doesn't have the votes. So I'll have much more in-depth analysis. I'm going to read a lot more comment letters this week, and I will be able to provide that. Look for that on the terminal. If you have any questions on that, please feel free to send me an IB. But with that, I'm going to say thank you very much. Have a wonderful week. If I can ever be of service, please don't hesitate to reach out, and we will talk soon. Take care.
Our thanks to Nathan Dean, Bloomberg Intelligence Senior Policy Analyst, bringing you the latest installment of his weekly Washington Policy Pulse. For more from BI or to join this call live each week, you can email Nathan at ndean@bloomberg.net. That's ndean@bloomberg.net. And come back to the podcast later today for the latest edition of Balance of Power.